The words of our meditation this morning is taken from two portions of Scripture, one from the Psalm 130, and Isaiah chapter 21, verses 11 and 12. And first from Isaiah, "He called me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning comes, and also the night." And from Psalm, "Sing unto the Lord a new song, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at his remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endures for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, look upon us this morning. Send forth your Holy Spirit that he may bless this message and open the hearts and the ears of the hearer. That these words may touch the hearts of students, professors alike, and may be a source of inspiration and insight. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. You may be seated. I didn't say this when I stood here first because I wanted to pray first. But good morning. Let's do this again. Good morning. Now one more time. We have to do things in threes. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, now we sound like seminary students. Happy and joyful to be in the house of the Lord. This is the third sermon that I believe I've given at my alma mater. My first sermon was an exegetical sermon as a student, and over in the other little dingy place over there, I don't know, you guys got a beautiful place over here, but it was a little dingy place over there. And the second one, when I became a pastor, young pastor, it was more doctrinal in nature. And now being an executive, this may sound a bit more prophetical, if you will, if the Holy Spirit has its way. I've always been loyal to my alma mater. And it's kind of good to know that there are a few more black students on campus. I think that when I was here, I was probably the only one at the time for a long time, and then another one drifted in, and then another one drifted in. But I think that we got a few more. I even got some brothers from Africa here. So that's a good thing. You know, I love preaching. Being a pastor for more than 20-some years, I won't even tell you how many years. I just say it's past 20 years. And if preaching was all there was to pastoring, I would have it made. It would be so easy. But you will know there is so much more. But preaching is the core of pastoring. You well know the phrase, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" So let's get to the message. And our theme is, what about the night? The morning comes, but also the night. What about the night? 2005 was a very stormy year for hundreds of thousands of people. Never in the history of this country have so many people been displaced in such a short time. Never in the history of this great nation has so many people lost all their worldly possessions at the same time in such a short period of time. It is a time of anxiety, stress, and confusion still. What's going to happen? Where are we going? What's going to happen with my life, my family, my future? Our text is filled with words of hope and comfort while living through some disturbing times of fear and uncertainty. My mother, bless her sainted soul, used to talk to herself I don't know if your parents ever did that, but she used to talk to herself when she was going about her work. And as a little child, about 7, 8 years old, I used to walk around behind her, and I would be chuckling while she talked to herself. I said, "Mommy's really getting off today, you know." But you know, sometimes, every now and then, I find myself in conversing with myself. And since it's so early this morning, and I know that you haven't had your cup of coffee, I don't think. I haven't had my first cup of coffee, so I'm still awake, and the Holy Spirit just working now, because I don't really start waking up until about 10 o'clock, you know. So I may just be talking to myself, but if I am, you can just sort of listen in. I must confess that the words I'm speaking are not new. You have heard or read the words before, and perhaps is familiar with the substance of its contents. But I want you to listen again to these words of David the psalmist and Isaiah the prophet. The morning comes, and also the night. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. These words from Psalm 30 are David's words. They are words of hope. They are the testimony of a man who once knew peace and wished that he could return to those tranquil days of just watching sheep. David was one who knew what it was like to be in the valley of sorrow. He had personally lingered in the valley of the shadow of death. His words are the utterance of an individual who had been personally stained by his sins, but was able to rejoice that his sins had been forgiven. David is one, perhaps more than others, who is entitled to sing this song of confidence. He had fought a ferocious bear and prevailed. He had been in mortal combat with the giant Goliath, and he survived. He was the object of intense jealousy and hatred by King Saul. His best friend Jonathan had been slain. The lyrics of Psalm 30 could only be sung by one who had numerous enemies, but God called him a friend. It could only be sung by one who had been through some hell in his life, but still had the hope of heaven. This psalm could only be sung by one who deserved the anger and wrath of God because of his adulterous ways and murderous heart, but came to know the great mercy, forgiveness, and peace of the Almighty. And I suppose that's the reason these words are often lifted up as a source of inspiration, of faithfulness during disturbing and troubling times. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, I want to believe those words. And I think that you will agree that tears, no matter how many, are only temporary. And joy must be the ultimate reality. We know that our faithfulness is often strengthened by the trials we have in life. And the test of our character is often watered by tears of tribulations. But there's a serious question. If joy is coming in the morning and weeping is for a night, then how long the night? If I must endure night in my life, then how long is my night? How long is this terror going to last? How long is this strange new war going to last? How long will there ever be peace again? Now that the waters have receded, Lord, what about the night? 6 centuries before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah was heard raising a similar question. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? In other words, watchmen, you are standing on duty, and we are down inside the walls of the city. You have the vantage point of standing high above us on the fortified walls. You got a panoramic view of the surroundings. You can warn us if some enemy are lurking in the darkness about to rain down terror and destruction upon our city. So tell us, watchmen. Warn us, watchmen. What about the night? You know, it's a terrible thing to ask the watchman and he doesn't know what's going on. It's disheartening to go to the fountain of faith and the fountain is dry. It is a tragedy to go to church and ask the preacher, "Do you have a word from the Lord?" To which the preacher replies, "Nope, haven't got a thing." You're in a bad situation when you're following a guide and your guide is lost. Isaiah asked, "Watchman, what of the night?" To which came the reply, "The morning comes and also the night." In other words, I don't know what's really happening. But I have the hope that morning is coming. But right now, I'm languishing in the reality of the night. And that's why I ask, how long the night? How long this night when I don't feel that I can trust anyone, not native born? How long this night when governments and leaders are out of touch with their people? How long this night when I can't tell my closest friend how I really feel? How long must my dreams be delayed and my hopes are no longer on distant horizons? Now, it might be said parenthetically so that you may not think that my question is foolish when I suggest that for many, it is night. Many are living in a social night, a time when the social fabric of our society is being ripped apart by greedy and selfish people in the name of profit and politics, when thousands of children in our neighborhoods have never even heard of Jesus Christ. We are living in a moral night, a night which has seen the lines between right and wrong nearly erased, a night which says that the goal in life is I, and me. A moral night which suggests that traditional family values are gone and children are raising their parents. Some of us, even now, are involved in a personal night. Some are even now afflicted with what the philosopher Soren Kierkegaard called the sickness unto death. There's somebody here today who has sickness in the home or family. There is somebody here today who went to the doctor last week to treat an ailment. Somebody here today who is grieving the loss of a loved one. Somebody here today who has a personal secret, some unconfessed sin which may be eating away at their confidence and even their very soul. Moreover, there is a spiritual night. I have a night in my soul when I realize that people who profess a faith in Jesus aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. There's something strange and unnerving when people who believe and confess faith in Jesus, who have the pure word of God, but will not share it with a neighbor. But since I seem to be rather curious about this matter of night, I began to get some more exegetical thought to the fact that the God who created the daytime also created the night. The second of God's creation in Genesis was day and night. David wrote in Psalm 19, "God does day by day utter speech, and night unto night shows knowledge." You see that there are some knowledge to be gained at night which cannot be learned during daylight. There are some lessons about life that you learn when you are sad that you wouldn't learn when you're happy. There are some lessons that God has to teach you at midnight that you can't learn at midday. There are some lessons we learn when we are in pain and not enjoying pleasures. There are some lessons learned in times of war and stress that you wouldn't learn in times of peace and repose. In Genesis chapter 32, it is stated that Jacob wrestled with the angel in the night. In fact, he wrestled with him all through the night until he was blessed in the morning. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they walked on a cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. When Jesus was born, it was night. When the angels sang glory to God in the highest, they were singing at night. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, it was night. When Jesus was betrayed, it was night. When Jesus hung on the cross at Good Friday, the clock of time said it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but the clock of eternity said it was midnight because the sun refused to shine. And when the sun refused to shine, when there is no sunlight in your life, it's nighttime. What about the night? Well, when you enter into a predicament, one way to get an understanding is to consult with others. Sometimes it's wise to listen to the testimony of others, of how they endured the nights. No matter how hard things might seem to you, no matter how dismal your days and dark your nights, somebody else has been where you are going. Someone has been there and done that. That's why it's good to listen to the testimony of others about what God has done for them and how he got them through the storms and through the nights. Then listen to David again, who said in Psalm 91, verses 1 through 5, "He that dwells in the secret places of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. They shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day." Listen to the testimony of the prophet Jeremiah, Lamentations 3:22. "His compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." That same prophet goes on to say in verse 32, "Even if God allows us to suffer, he will have mercy." Now, the testimony of others may be enlightening and give some understanding, but the question has not yet been answered for me. I don't know how long your night is, but I do want to know how long my night will be. I know it might sound like a strange question for me to ask, but then I may be talking to myself this morning, remember? And you're just sort of listening in. I sometimes talk to myself when I haven't had a first cup of coffee. I know that there are cries of peace, peace, and there is no peace coming. I know that there are better days ahead, but how long the night? I know that God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his feet on the seas and rises up on the storm, but how long the night? I know that all things work together for good for those who love God, but how long the night? I know that I need to wait on the Lord and be of good cheer, but how long the night? I know that Jesus knows just how much we can bear, but how long the night? I know that there are brighter days ahead, but I still need to know how long the night. How long the night? I may never know the exact perimeters, but I'm trying to remain faithful. And I'm learning that the longer my night, the less time I have to wait until morning. I'm learning that you can't run through the night. You can't skip over the night. You can't postpone the night. You can't avoid the night. You got to live through the night. You've got to endure the night. Jesus said in Mark 13:13, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." The prophet said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." If you want to know how long your night, it's not long. The same God who allowed the darkness of your night also bring forth the dawning of your morning. How long the night? Not long. Jesus has promised to come quickly and wipe away all tears. How long the night? Not long. Soon one morning when this life is over, we shall see him coming in the clouds with all the host of heaven. How long? Not long. But until the morning comes, I will put my hand in God's hand and sing through the storms, through the night. Lead me on to the light. Precious Lord, take my hand and lead me. Kirk Franklin put it another way when he sang, "Now don't you worry and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Trouble, they don't last always. For I have this friend named Jesus who can wipe your tears away. And if your heart is breaking, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. And no matter what may come my way, with Jesus, I can take it. My life is in his hands. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." God bless you. Let us rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,